Welcome back, everybody, to this week's episode of the Spectrum Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Marvel, and today I am speaking with the woman behind the popular Instagram page, Life with Opal, Renee. Renee is a mom from Oklahoma, and we are talking a lot about today acceptance and regression and just coming to terms with some of the emotions that we go through raising our special needs kids. So I'm not going to keep you guys any longer. Please enjoy my interview with Renee.
All right, and we're back, and I am really excited today. I am joined by Renee from Oklahoma. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm good. How's the weather out in Oklahoma?
Oh, it's crazy. One day it'll be 80 degrees and then it'll be 111. So it's crazy out here.
Yeah. But I was really excited to have you on today because about a month ago, you put together some incredible videos for a bunch of different kids, putting them to different Disney theme songs and everything like that. And big fan of my oldest son, Alex, is obsessed with everything Disney. Like, I really got a kick out of seeing that. So when I saw you put in all the work to put all these different videos together, it's like, oh, this is somebody I wanted to talk to.
Yeah.
But you have, I know you have a daughter, Opal.
Yes.
Right. And she's on the spectrum.
Yes.
Do you kind of want to take us back to the beginning with her? Like, when she was diagnosed, if this was something you expected or something that, you know, was a shock or a surprise?
Yeah. So, back in March of 2020, Opal was 2.5 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
We had just brought our youngest, Lucy, home from the hospital. She was born about a month before that. So February 2020.
Right.
So one day in March, Opal woke up and she wouldn't talk anymore. Like, she had 3 words and eventually she lost more words. But we noticed that that was the month that, you know, she just hit this huge regression, and we didn't know that it was autism at the time. We thought, you know, she had a new sister, the world shut down, you know, like COVID was happening. And so we didn't know anything about autism. But we started noticing things like, you know, she kind of started to want to be like in her own little world, and she stopped answering to her name, like a lot of the basic autism signs that we didn't know anything about before the whole autism world, basically.
Right.
So I think it was around Easter time, we did like a Zoom call with her doctor, and we were like, she's not wanting to do the Easter egg hunt, like, we don't know what's going on. And the doctor was like, well, I don't think it's autism. And that was the very first time we ever heard that autism or anything. And we were like, what? Like, we had no idea. So we did a lot of research. A couple months later, her doctor was like, actually, I do think we need to get her evaluated. So that's kind of what led to all of that.
Right.
And she was diagnosed December 1st, 2020. And she had just turned 3.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, like, what... that's a lot going on because you've got Opal's only 3, and then you just had another daughter.
Yeah.
And so what, I mean, like, was that, I'm guessing that's a lot to process and everything.
Oh yeah. It was probably the hardest year of my whole life. Yeah, for sure.
Now, like, I mean, I know what we went through. It was a little different. Alex wasn't diagnosed until he was 9 with autism. So was there any, like, any pushback from anybody? Like, she'll grow. And, you know, the typical things you hear, like, she'll grow out of it, or it's got to be something else, or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, it all happened during COVID and everything.
Right.
So everyone was like, well, she just got a new sister and all these things. Well, she can do this and she can do that. But I think it started becoming evident when, like, her regression was so big. Like,
right.
I don't know if I've met anyone else that's talked about such a big regression. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, it was just like a really hard time for us. And, you know, you grow up and you don't know anything about autism. So, I mean, to us, it felt like a lot of her, like, early years were stolen from us. But what we didn't understand was that she was autistic before that. It's right. just that's how it chose to like appear, make itself known to us. Was, and I think she had such a big regression because of the fact that she had a new sister and the world shut down and her whole life changed. So I think that's what brought that about, but right. we didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, and that's some, yeah. another question I had for you, because Alex is our oldest. We have two other boys. So what was Opal's reaction to having a new baby? And I'm only asking because it was, for us, it was completely different. Daniel's our middle guy. When Daniel was born, Alex was a little indifferent. Daniel got old enough to like laugh and giggle and you can get reactions out of him, it changed. But with Oliver, our youngest, who is five, there was a lot more. I don't know if this because Alex was older, he was a lot more affectionate, a lot more, you know, a lot more just involved from yeah. the beginning. So what was Opal's reaction to your new baby?
Yeah, she didn't want anything to do with her. She could have, I mean, like for a long time we would, you know, try to get her to feed her or give her a pacifier or something. Right. And she would like do it to appease what we were asking, but she could have, I mean, cared less, like thought she was another toy or something. Like she could have cared less.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, the one thing we did have to watch is like Alex was, he still is a little bit one of those kids that doesn't realize like how strong he is. I can't yes. remember what they call it, like proprioceptive or something like that. So like, you know, with having a baby, and you know, like I remember one time like we had Daniel in his little baby swing and Alex was like pushing it way too hard and stuff. That was yes. like, oh buddy, like he wasn't trying to, you know, he was just trying to
gentle
push him in a yeah. swing or everything, but still, like, you know, that was something we definitely had to look out for.
Yes.
So we went through a lot during the pandemic trying to get, because Alex was actually diagnosed during the pandemic, mm-hmm. trying to get services and things like that set up for him. Once he was formally diagnosed, he was diagnosed in June of 2020.
Okay.
So what was that like with you guys trying to get services in the pandemic?
Yeah, so she went through her regression in March, and I think right. May is when we talked about putting her in speech therapy. And this was still before, you know, we really thought autism was, you know, in, you know, that she was autistic or anything. So she started speech therapy, and we live in Oklahoma, so it mm-hmm. wasn't like, you know, our state was shut down for like a couple weeks, but okay. then everyone kind of, you know, you just had to wear masks and things like that wherever you yes. went. So she was able to be in person in speech, and then our speech therapist recommended like occupational therapy as well, which I hear a lot of kids before they're diagnosed, like that's a lot of the routes they go, is like speech therapy, then occupational therapy, and then like they're diagnosed. So that's kind of just what we went through.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, after she was, you know, diagnosed, that's when we added an ABA and stuff like that. So
okay, now yeah. how old is Opal now?
She'll be five in October.
Okay, so, cool. So yeah. What is her day like? I mean, does she go to like a preschool, or is it like an ABA center, or, you know?
Yeah. So she has a busy week. She works hard. I know she's only four, but she loves staying busy. She doesn't want to be home all day. So her day sounds really busy, but she wants to be gone. So right now she does ABA, I think 20, 25 hours a week.
Okay.
And then we do speech twice. Like it's like a 30-minute session. And then she does occupational therapy for an hour. But next week she's actually starting preschool. So that will look a lot different for her. But she's going to start by going like 3 days a week, and then we'll work our way to five.
Is it like Alex went to one of the, like, it was like an inclusive preschool where they had neurotypical kids and then kids like Alex. And it was great because he could get his OT there and, you know, in school. And it was a really great experience for him.
Yeah. Yeah. So ours, you know, it's the public school, but it is inclusive. So she'll right. go to like the special education preschool for like a couple hours, and then they will work their way on her being able to handle being in like the typical class setting. So she has two teachers. She has her special ed teacher who has right. her own class, and then she has like a typical pre-K teacher.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that because we went through looking for summer camps this year with Alex. We always go back and forth between, you know, like a typical summer camp and like a special needs summer camp.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of the special needs camps, like there was no integration between the kids like Alex with the neurotypical kids. And I did not like that. And I love that Alex's school's kind of set up like that now, where he's in the autism support room for math and reading, but then he goes in with the gen ed class for everything else, you know, history and science and, you know, all the fun stuff like gym and music and all that stuff. So that's good, because I think it's important to, you know, not, you know, yes, our kids need a little extra help, but, you know, don't isolate them on some island somewhere.
Oh, for sure. And when you talk about inclusion, like, how are you going to include if they have their own separate classes and their own separate all these things? Like, we're trying to teach the world how to treat others with disabilities, but how are you going to teach that if they're not being included, like, with typical kids? So I totally absolutely agree.
And it works all around, because it teaches our kids kind of, you know, like, it gets them out in the community, it gets them around different people,
right?
And then it also teaches the neurotypical kids, like, how to treat people that might be a little bit different, or, you know, just educates them on some of the differences that kids can have.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but the reason I wanted to have you on today is, like I said, in the beginning of our conversation, you put together, I lost count. I was watching a bunch of them, all these incredible videos of different kids set to all those iconic and famous, like, Disney theme songs from, like, Peter Pan and Winnie the Pooh and all that stuff. How did you come up with such an amazing idea?
So I love making reels. I think it's fun. It's like a cool creative outlet and stuff. And so I was trying to come up with a way that we could get more autism accounts out there, because a lot of people are like, well, I've never heard of autism, blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to make a way where you can't say you've never heard of autism. Well, actually, you've seen my reels. So, and I love Disney. I'm a Disney nerd, Disney fan. Animated movies are my favorite. And Opal loves certain Disney movies as well. Okay. Her favorite is like Toy Story, Cinderella, all the things. But I thought, what a better way. So many people love Disney, and they're going to say, like, autism and Disney, what is that? And that's gonna, like, bring people in to see, like, oh my gosh, these kids are amazing, they're sweet. Like, you know, there's so many people that are, you know, quote unquote scared of people that are different.
Yeah,
like, let's show them that there's nothing to be scared about, and show them how amazing these kids are with a cute little Disney song, and, you know, just like a cute little twist. So I think there was like 40. I can't even remember now.
That's
like
what I was going to say. I mean, I know I at least watched like 36 or so.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot.
You know, I mean, it was great. Like, you know, it was, I love the message, because, you know, Alex is Disney obsessed too, even to this day. Like, you know, we went to Disney World for the first time this year in February, and he, you know, was absolutely, like, was through the roof excited. He's already I think he's already planning our return trip. Not that, you know, I wish it could be tomorrow, but you know, who knows when it'll be,
right? Yeah,
but yeah, no, I love the message, because and it worked, because I can't remember, you know, that's how I got in touch with you. So,
yeah,
you know, your message definitely got out there.
Awesome. Yes. And that was the whole goal. So
absolutely. But listen, thank you so much for coming on today. I really enjoy talking with you. And I love everything you're doing. I love your message about inclusion. I love your reels. I wish I was good at them. I'm terrible. I did one reel that somebody else did for me. I don't know if you're familiar with Goalie, the app. Yeah. You know, they put one together for me. Like, literally all I did was take a video and send it to them, and they put it all together.
Yes.
So, you know, I wish I was as good at social media as you and others are. But if people want to get in contact with you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So the best way to get in contact would be our Instagram page. It's life.with.opal. And we do have a Facebook page, but I'm much more present on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you again so much, Renee. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. See you later.
Bye.
And I won't let you guys go without the Spectrum Dad joke of the week. Why do cows wear bells? Because their horns don't work. I'll talk to you guys next week. You guys can find me on Instagram at the Spectrum Dad Pod. And don't forget, leave those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. See ya.